Welcome to Rec Reflect. Today we have Mary Jimenez, who is the president of Traps for 2023. She is also the recreation manager for the city of Round Rock. Mary, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to spending time with you guys today. Traps is an amazing organization, and I can't wait to share what I've got in store for you.
Yeah. Mary, we get into some really fun conversations. She's a true Bobcat, whether she says it's Southwest or Texas State, doesn't matter. We get into talk about what she's really hoping for this year as the president and why leadership matters to her so much.
Enjoy. Why don't you go ahead and just kind of tell us briefly, or in long form, it's your choice, like this other episode. Take an hour if you need to.
No, that's all right.
You need a little bit for it. So, what got you to talk to me? Like, what's your history?
What's my history?
Yeah.
Well, so when I first started college, I thought that I was going to go to school for physical therapy. Like, you know, you always have that will to serve people, right? And then I started taking those medical classes.
There's other ways I can serve people.
Yeah, that's not for me, right? So I was like, yeah, that's physical therapy in the medical field is not going to be my match. And so then I just had a friend that was like, hey, have you ever heard of Parks and Recreation? And I was like, well, yeah, kind of, but tell me more, right? Yeah. And so then that was kind of my first exposure to it. And then you start your recreation track, Southwest Texas. Yes, ooh, that may be dating myself a little bit, but I am a Southwest Texas grad.
Nice.
So you start those leadership classes, those programming classes, and that is where I truly fell in love with Parks and Recreation. So I was a student of Dr. Lord's, so that's kind of cool, right? So I was one of her true students at Southwest Texas.
Were you with Dr. Hodges at all?
No, Dr. Hodges was not there.
Okay.
You know, just getting that experience was pretty amazing. And then I think it was pretty awesome that their organization always integrated into Traps and into NRPA. So as a student, that is when I became a member of Traps just a few years ago, right? So you were a room host, you were a volunteer, and that really got you exposed to what Parks and Rec is as a whole. Mm-hmm. And so when you are integrated into it as a young student, as a young professional, then that gets you hooked, right? It's really cool. So got that awesome experience to, volunteer at Traps as a student. We took road trips to Nashville and NRPA as a student.
Nice.
So getting that exposure, I mean, there's professionals amongst our field that don't even get to go to NRPA. I got the privilege to go as a student and experience that, and it was really pretty amazing.
See, and then, you know, not to interrupt too much, but
no, you're good.
This is the difference to all you people who are listening, maybe students out there. You can either be Mary Jimenez and go to Traps as a student, and end up becoming the president and being a you know, awesome professional in Round Rock, or you can be Will Doss and just say, I was at Texas State too, and I didn't want to go to all the
that wasn't stuff. Your thing.
I said, no, thank you. And you could, I guess, host a podcast.
Yeah.
So you got two routes here. If you want to be the president,
it's options. It's options. You never know what path.
Those are the two ends of the continuum.
Yeah.
No, there's lots of opportunities in between. We don't have to go one continuum to the other.
You're either the president or you're, what are we, the Dancing Bears?
Or your Will.
Or your Will. Yeah. Which is okay, I guess. But if you want to be Mary and be the president, then go to Traps as a student. I regret that decision. But anyways, you go.
Yeah. No, it's good. So getting integrated into Traps as a young professional, and then very lucky I had to do, you know, your leadership internship, your field work. I was able to do that at a retirement community. And that was kind of my goal, is once I got into the field, I realized that I really love the opportunity to serve all ages and all abilities. I wasn't totally focused on, I'm only going to work with youth. I'm only going to work with, you know, our active adults. But being able to find an organization that can serve everyone. So my first job, City of Round Rock, interviewed with them and got taken on as an after school summer camp coordinator, and getting your hands into that, and then building through the recreation center that they have there. And then my current role is a recreation manager for Round Rock Parks and Rec. So it's a great, awesome experience because you guys know in Parks and Rec, it's never a dull moment. You know, people always ask you at the interview table, what will a typical day look like?
it's not really a typical day. It's more.
Is there such thing as a typical day? You know, but it really does have the, I think Parks and Rec has that benefit of working with all different ages, all abilities, all levels, and really just making that impact to serve the community and make a difference. So absolutely. I've been privileged to be able to do that in my role, and also marrying that with Traps. So privileged to serve Traps as an organization. I started just in a sense, kind of volunteering the, as you all know, we have the regional events. So I'm in Central Region, so kind of got pulled in to help with the regional workshop. And that kind of integrates you and kind of you start to meet people and make those connections. So starting with Central Region Workshop and this kind of making those connections and growing through there and getting to serve on the board. And then next step, president-elect. And next step, president. So here we are.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a whirlwind. Like you've come so far. So what was one of the first classes you took in recreation? They're like, oh yeah, this is, because you were saying.
Yep. The one that really comes to mind is leadership. And I don't know if the name was Leadership 101. I mean, it might have been a few years. It might be a little fuzzy. Yeah. Leadership class. And I think that what really got you hooked in is, yes, you're learning the foundations of leadership. But part of that class was also doing a project in the community. And so we actually had to learn how to program and how to lead. And then they tested your skills by throwing you out in the community to make it happen. Yeah. So we hosted a field day for all local elementary schools.
Nice.
So you had to plan games and activities, and you had to have all of that prepared, all your supplies, all your how-tos, and put it all together. So you actually had that opportunity to practice your skills and learn from them. So those are those ones that hook you in where you're like, yeah, this is what I'm meant to do, you know, and see those smiles on the people's faces, yeah. The work that you do, the time that you spend working on it, and then to spend time delivering the service and then seeing the impact that you make directly through the faces that you serve. It's pretty awesome.
What was the conversation like either when you got into Traps? Did you have your sights set on being the president at some point in time? Did you say, I want to be the president? Or how did that go that you just were like, you know, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to run for it? Was there somebody who encouraged you to do it? Or
yeah,
what was it like?
A little bit of both. I honestly did not have my sights set on that. I did not know that was in my future at the time. So I probably had a little bit of tunnel vision. I was like, oh yeah, I'm in the Central Region. I can serve on that. I'm fulfilled with that. And then I had the opportunity, Kimberly Garrett, who works for the city of Georgetown. She was
friend of the show.
She's been on guest of the show.
Women in power.
She had the opportunity to move up in her role as president-elect. And so that vacated the Central Region position. And so she reached out and was like, hey, this might be a good opportunity for you to kind of move into and grow into. And I was like, well, let's give it a shot. And so then you really get integrated into the board and you see that different side. Yeah. Like, you know, you're hosting events in your region and you're connected. But when you actually do start to serve on the board and see the bigger picture, it really does open up mm-hmm. a little bit more of the insight of the behind the scenes of the Traps organization. And so that was kind of my first impact and serving on the Central Region and being a part of the board. And then when those opportunities kind of come up and come knocking, you're like, I actually might be able to do this. Yeah. I actually might have the desire to kind of serve and lead this organization if the organization so shall choose.
Yeah.
And that's how it all kind of fell into place.
So I love to hear the story and where you're at now. So now that you're here, the president-elect.
Yes.
Describe, what is your philosophy of your leadership style?
So you might have been hearing it a lot in a little bit, but I have a huge team philosophy, right? It takes all of us to make whatever we're doing work. So it could be individually in your organization. Since we're focusing here on Traps, it takes a lot of people to make Traps work. Mm-hmm. You've got your executive team at the state office. You have your regional contacts throughout the state. We're a big organization. We're absolutely a big state. Everything's bigger in Texas. Mm-hmm. I personally believe in teamwork. That's been instilled in me and in my organization. And I think that's just an important thing to keep on the forefront through. That's what I'm going to focus on is really this one Traps, one team, really pulling us all in together, that while you may be in a different region and while you may serve in a different role, what you're doing does roll up into the bigger picture. It does truly roll up into TRAPS as a whole. And we are all unified by that mission to serve our communities and to carry TRAPS forward. I just think it's important for us to all respect each other's roles. I always say, like, surround yourself with greatness, because I can't do it all. You can't do it all by yourselves. And so we really just having that opportunity to everyone pitch in to make a difference for our organization. Another thing that I think I'll be focusing on is we know as members that TRAPS is very important. That is one side of TRAPS, that it is here for the membership. It is here for that education part, to constantly bring in those new professionals and keep them engaged. And wherever you are in your career, it could be you're ready for retirement, or we have some retired members, but TRAPS really does support you throughout your entire career by keeping you stimulated and making those connections and forcing those relationships. But there's the other side of the house that we also need to be public facing,
right?
That the public needs to know who TRAPS is, and that the people behind the organization are the ones in your communities that are making things happen.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a lot of efforts to be made to educate our general public on who TRAPS is and what TRAPS does, and who are the members of TRAPS and the stories behind them, and really kind of telling those stories so that there's a community behind that. Because I mean, TRAPS is a 501c3 organization. So it is a true nonprofit. And so really balancing that membership side and that public facing side is something that I think that we're going to expand on in the next couple of years.
So what can we expect from your presidency in terms of education, outreach, all the things that TRAP does? What's going to be your thumbprint on it?
So a lot of it will be focused on teamwork, really just encouraging our board to continue to serve and to continue to evolve. Really, if everyone can serve the members in their group well, then we're continuing to make strides. There's an amazing strategic plan in place for TRAPS. And I always say, like, the roadmap has been set, right? We don't have a lot of work to do to create what we're trying to do. It's just a matter of navigating that roadmap and continuing those efforts to continue to make strides. We know that we've got a huge legislative focus, you know, coming up this year. And you know, we got to participate in the Walk the Halls event, and those legislative efforts will be ongoing. It's not a one-day event. And really, again, it's that awareness, like bringing it to people's faces that TRAPS is important. Parks and recreation, arts, culture, nature, it's important.
Well, we're our best advocates, right?
Absolutely.
Like we've got to be able to stand up and say we're advocating for ourselves, right? And inspire other people to advocate with us who might be outside of parks and recreation.
So I don't think there's any kind of big dynamite, like, oh my gosh, we're going to accomplish this and you're going to be able to check the box. I think it's just more of forming that culture and keeping that culture going. Really, I hope to inspire people. I hope to make those connections and really build TRAPS and keep it going forward. Education is always important, making sure that all of our groups feel that they're empowered. There's different resources, right? It doesn't always have to be meeting up at the State Institute, because we know that not everybody gets that opportunity.
Right.
So if we can have some breakout sessions, if we can have some online, if we can have some lunch and learns across the state of Texas, I think that gives us an opportunity to reach everyone.
Yeah. But you were kind of talking earlier about leadership and what it's like to have a team with you.
Yep.
And I know kind of before on the podcast, you mentioned how this whole thing, the situation works as far as being the president-elect, and the past president. So can you kind of talk to us about that marriage? You have Trent as your, you know, past president here. And is it Jacob who's the president?
Jacob will be president-elect.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting to see how, like, again, you're all three people who are elected into this role, and you're not necessarily forced, but, like,
right.
It's not like you're the president who gets to pick their vice president type thing, right? You get to kind of form this team, and there's so much representation. There's so much people choosing, you know, y'all three of you to lead this way. It's your chance to kind of be the one in charge. But there's an interesting little cycle that kind of goes with that. So can you explain that process a little bit?
Sure. And I've been really impressed with that setup. And I think it's a dynamic setup, because it is a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you're stepping into this role, sometimes very clear on what your goals are, sometimes not very clear. And we know that the evolution of our divisions and our departments, it always changes. You should expect change to happen. And we're always going to be challenged with new things, especially, you know, with TRAPS as an organization, we're going to go through change. And I think that it's a really smart plan that they have it set up where you do have a president-elect, you have a president that's currently serving, and then you have a past president. So it really is kind of that full circle of leadership where someone is guiding you, and it's kind of that, you know, you've got a hand up to reach up to the next person and a hand down to pull the next person up behind you. And it's a true support system. So I think that they have a really good system in place to create that support. Just like we said too, like Texas is a very big state. It's a lot of ground to cover. So having the three leadership positions allows us to kind of work together. And if one of us can't make it, we know that someone else is there to support you. And that really helps. And we're all on that same philosophy. We're all on that same vision, really pushing the organization forward. So when you come into this role, and that's what is amazing, you already have a support system built around you.
Right.
It isn't where you're, congratulations, you're the president.
Good luck. Yeah.
Good luck. You truly do have an automatic support system already built around you. You have the board. You have a whole slew of past presidents who have been through it before, who are reaching out saying, anything you need, I'm here to support you. And they really do mean it, right? They're here to, for just a friendly phone call. They're there to say, I'm here to support you. Do you have any challenges? I will help you, or I will get out of your way. Whatever is your choice. And I think that that is a pretty cool dynamic that you see that leadership set up in the way that Traps sets up their organization. So it's a pretty awesome thing to do. And currently when I'm in my current president-elect role, it's been nice to shadow what is going on. So it helps me become prepared to take that president's role. And so you're not going into it blind.
Yeah. Well, you have Trent, so you can see what not to do.
Lessons learned. Let's call it that.
It's cool too, because like I think some people don't quite realize until you hear that conversation that this is a 3-year commitment.
Yes, right? It is like a 3-year commitment.
I mean, I know there's going to be 1 year that's going to be kind of your big year, but like, hey, there's 3 years.
You're committed to making this happen.
Right. Yep. So it's kind of interesting to see it all play out and everything. And so what kind of things are you excited for as far as your upcoming year? What are you really excited to see?
So as many of you know, that there is a brand new Traps executive team. Brand new executive director, director of operations, director of education and outreach. I think the potential for all of those things is exciting, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting people that it's a pretty interesting situation where most of them have been on what I'm going to say our end of the fence. Like they've been a member, they've been part of Traps. But now they're having to cross over and actually be the ones that are carrying out our mission, making those executive decisions. And I think that there is a lot of talent among that team that we are going to be able to unleash and see some pretty amazing efforts. And I'm excited to be a part of that.
Can we also appreciate that Traps, the professional staff, has had 100% turnover rate in a calendar year?
Yeah. Isn't that,
and like,
does anybody else relate to that? Anybody else have turnover and,
No, but like, that, but yeah,
as an organization, 100% turnover.
And then I don't know about y'all, but like, I don't notice anything like, because new leadership, usually you see a dip, you're like, you got to give them time.
Nope.
I have not seen a dip in anything.
No, wow. There's been no drops. And I think that talks to a little bit about, I'm going to call it leadership support. So we all know the amazing Dr. Lord, who has served this organization in this field for I don't even know how long. She is there to support the new team, right? It's not like, see you later, right?
Yeah.
They're there to support the former team of the office, Julie and Jessica. Amazing support system. They have been phone calls away. They've gone and volunteered their time. They're because if you truly are invested in this profession and in this mission and in Traps, you'll do whatever it takes to support it, regardless if you have the title or not. So yes, they have left the role officially, but that doesn't mean that they're not supporting it.
They're still
supporting the people who are carrying it on now by, you know, offering advice or here's the history or here's your phone call, whatever may be need. And that speaks volumes to our organization that no matter, you know, where you're at in that career, you've officially left the job, but you're still supporting it. And so you didn't see a dip. You didn't see a transit. I mean, yes, we saw transition, but you didn't see a stop in service.
I mean, here we are a year later and
the show still goes on.
Right. You know, we're just talking to Aaron Franz yesterday. I was like, man, this is more daunting than I thought it would be being up here in the North region. Because there are so many people who aren't at the hotel and they're just coming in
for the day.
You haven't seen a dip at all. You've just seen like we just keep going. We just keep ticking and keep going. And it's a testament not only to their team, but to you guys, to you right. and Trent and everyone who's kind of really put this whole thing together yeah. this year and really put in a lot of effort and everything. And you know, hopefully now you get to kind of transition into your year of being the president
yes.
and ending up next year and kind of seeing it all through maybe a past year lens and
right.
everything and seeing it all. It was,
and y'all visited with Erin too. She has a dynamic history of working with nonprofits,
right.
which Traps is.
Right.
And a huge element of this is awareness, is advocacy on the information side. Like not just the legislative advocacy, but advocating for our profession, for
yeah.
our field, for the people who are in the work. So I'm excited to be able to tap into those skills of hers for fundraising efforts, advocacy, telling our story, because she has done some amazing things in her career. And I think Traps is only going to, you know, get an awesome
yeah.
showcase from her, from those talents that she has. So it's really cool to be able to, you know, you've got your membership side of the house, and then you've got your nonprofit side of the house, and we'll be able to marry those together to really push this organization forward.
Okay, so when we're talking about leadership, it's so much fun to ask the following question.
Oh,
who are the people that invested in that you count as mentors through your career
mm-hmm.
that you can name drop? They're like, these are the people who made me who I am today. And
okay.
I know, like, if you were making like the full list, it's like 100 people, right? We
mm-hmm.
all have our people. But like, who would be the top two or three for you?
Okay, so the ones that are just coming to me immediately right away, of course, my two main professors, Dr. Jackie Vaughn and Dr. Michael Ann Lord. When you go to school and you're inspired to just sink into that career, you know that they made an impact on you. And I think that there's a lot of amazing educators out there right now right?
Daniel.
There's someone. Yeah. But if you have the ability to influence someone when they're choosing their career path, to truly pour their heart and soul into that career path, I mean, that's amazing. And that happened to me, right? So that I was kind of struggling, like, what career path am I going to follow? And those two individuals really taught me that this is what I want to do. So I think that's the two that I think of right off the bat.
I vibe so hard when you talk to
me.
You were talking about like the kinesiology stuff, like all like the PT
yeah.
stuff, because that's what department
that's
I'm in at Angelo State. But like we do like kinesiology, like we're doing a couple different things. How you going to go be PT, OT,
mm-hmm.
doctor of chiropractic, and then like people who want to go to coaching, and then people who want to go into recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have talked to so many kids and got them.
But that's kind of, you have three pathways so they can find their way.
Yeah, we have exit ramps.
Yeah.
That's,
I call it pathway, you call it exit ramp.
Well,
yeah.
Look, could you imagine if you were a freshman year at Southwest
uh-huh.
and you were taking all your PT prereqs, and then you get a year in and you're like, I don't enjoy this.
And I made all D's.
You made all
D's.
D's
for degrees.
D for degree.
Finally somebody married and I have a comment.
But then you're like, you're stuck. Either I have to, like, if there's no
yeah.
other pathway to another career, then if you're just stuck on that, then you're stuck for the next three
yeah.
years doing something you don't like.
No.
And then if you don't like the schooling of it, you're definitely not going to like the career of it.
No.
So
that's good.
I was like,
oh,
I've got
a
something.
Little connection there.
I'm gonna play for this for my students next week in my freshman class, because I've got so many that are like, I don't know if PT's for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, here, let me
find a way for you.
The great and amazing Mary. This is what she has to say.
So
here's your advice.
We can definitely get back to the actual conversation of leadership and everything like that. But just on that similar note, what will it get for me to convince you to say Texas State rather than Southwest Texas?
No.
Nothing?
No, it's not going to happen.
Are you just very anti-Texas State?
No, I'm not anti-Texas State at all. But when you ask where I graduated from and where I went to school, it was Southwest
yeah.
Texas.
See, I have a couple of relatives who are like, who literally one of them graduated while the last little bit when it was Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was one of the first Texas State. And she hates it. Not
yeah.
hate Texas State, but she's like, I went there for 4 years. And then also now I'm.
It's all the same. It's just
is.
A different name, but I have to own the name that I was a part of.
Fair.
You know?
An SWT, true SWT.
True SWT. And that gear is hard to find.
Yeah.
It rolls out like once a year, I think, at their throwback game. And you've got
to
grab it when it comes out. Because
they probably make so much money.
Oh, yeah.
From the tree. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, what year did they change that?
2001?
Yeah, I think right at 2000, 2001, because that's close when I graduated, not dating myself.
Yeah.
And I got the call, would you like a diploma
yeah, okay.
from Texas State? And I kindly said, no, thank you, because I graduated from Southwest Texas.
I don't know that place. I don't know who that is. That's
those new kids can have.
Yeah, that's for the new group. I think other leaders that I have really caught on to, my first director, Sharon Preet. She was a director in Round Rock. She's amazing lady, passionate about what she did. She was a hands-on leader. She'd always showed up at your programs, and she was not afraid to tell you that you were doing wrong and that you were doing right. Right. Okay. And so there was a great balance, and you can't, you know, and so, but it, she would call it to the table and be very, very open and honest. And she was my director for the very first part of my career. But our current director, Rick Atkins, took over very shortly after Sharon. And he has been my director for the majority of my career. And he is an amazing leader. He pushes the bar and has kind of instilled the importance of teamwork. Because that is the culture that he has built at Round Rock Parks and Recreation. It is high demand. It is fast paced. It is, if you think that, you know, status quo is not okay, you want to continually wanting to raise the bar. And if you do something well, I expect you to do it better next time, because you have to keep progressing and push. Innovation, pushing forward for yourself, for your community, for your department. Just to make the best impact that you can. And he holds us to a very high standard. And sometimes when you're in it, you don't realize that that's going on. But when you take a step back and reflect and be like, yeah, that has had a huge impact on me and my work ethic and why I can push forward, because he has framed that around us. Really, really done an amazing job to build our team and push us in uncomfortable situations for us to be able to challenge ourselves and then check that box and look back and go, yeah, that's why he pushed me, is I can do that and I can make that happen. So it's really cool so those have kind of been my most impactful leaders in my career world.
Very nice. Well, this has been great. So you know that one?
I love it. So something I love to ask people, but I haven't asked on the podcast yet, because we do a lot of talking about how do people lead, how do they, what has gotten them to success. But I think we are almost as defined in our personal lives through our failures. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you professionally, what is a time that you learned like an abject lesson through your failure, and how did you respond to it?
Wow, that's a great question.
Is that to say you have no failures?
No, you can't sit at the table and say you have no failures, okay. Because everybody has those moments. Now, I will flip it on you a little bit, though, but I'm kind of an optimistic, and so I always tell people it may not be a failure, it's a learning lesson.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah, you made a mistake, you failed, but if you can flip it and learn something from it,
It's an opportunity.
I'm really trying to think of one of those career-turning opportunities. You're constantly challenged, and sometimes we might make a call that may not have been the best call. And I know you want a specific answer, and I'm just really struggling to try to find one right now.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
But I think because it happens so often, but if you flip it and go, yeah, I made the wrong call on that, but I was able to pivot and change direction, and then you really don't even realize it, but you can look back and go, yeah, that was a challenge.
I made
a call and needed to do a little change, learn from it.
Yeah. Well, I think there's
send you down another path.
There's a certain like almost nice feeling to hear somebody say that, like, yeah, of course
it happens.
And it's almost like when you have those moments where you can look back at anything you do and say, okay, what could I have done maybe better here?
Different here and anything.
And I almost don't only think that you look back and say, gosh, I really wish I had made a different decision there. It's just a matter of like, okay, I learned a little something here.
Yep.
So next time, if I have to make a similar type decision, I know this is what happened last time.
Right.
And you can make a totally different decision. It could also still end in failure.
Yep.
And be like, okay, that's awesome.
It might take a couple of three strikes to get me back on the right path.
Yeah.
But hey, we're going to do it.
We're going to eventually figure it out. No, that's really cool to hear somebody say like.
Yeah, it's just a different way of thinking that, you know, I'm not one to like really just get down on myself to be like, oh, wow, that was a horrible choice. you are just down in the dumps. You failed on that. You gotta be resilient, and you've got to be able to take those challenges and just move quickly through them, and then, you know, reflect back a little bit and be like, yeah, maybe I should have been a little bit more observant about that. You know,
for me personally, I carried something from, I played college football, and I carried something, a rule that I have for myself now that I learned from my college football coach.
Okay.
The 24-hour rule. So you met, like, if we lost a game, he after the game, he talks to us, say, hey guys, you get 24 hours to feel bad about this.
Because, and then it's done.
Because what do we got to do?
Mm-hmm.
We got to go
prep for the next game. Yeah.
And we don't have time to keep
wallowing. You can't live in that loss. Yeah.
And so I give myself the 24-hour rule. I can be mad, sad, dejected for 24 hours. Then I just got to turn the page because we're on to the next
one. That's right.
So we're kind of running up on the end, and we have some questions that we have to, like, they're non-negotiable.
They have to be asked.
Usually we just skip to this part of the podcast anyways.
Oh.
Yeah. They're like, oh, okay.
We wanted to go through all the content before we got to this. Okay, right. Non-negotiable.
No, and actually, you know what? I think that these are the cherries on top of the episodes. Because it's varied, and they're so much fun to hear. Will.
So, when you're getting yourself pumped up, when you're coming out for your first day as president, you're stepping off Air Force One, right?
And roll out that carpet.
Traps mm-hmm. One. Yep. Step off Traps One. What is the pump-up song that's playing to get Mary going, to get this is what you want as president to be heard when you walk in the room?
Am I going to sing it? Are y'all gonna cue it up on the?
We don't have a budget for the sound, so we'll just have to tell people what the song is, and they can YouTube it.
You can definitely sing it up too if you like.
Well, yeah, I could do that. So my hype song. That's it. Because I'm happy.
Oh, nice.
Clap along.
Oh, Bruno Mars. Okay, yeah.
That's for real. I mean, the energy, because you're happy, and let's just roll it out and go with it and look on the bright side. Yeah, Bruno?
I will it's totally make sure fine. That is cut. So, for real.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's the first thing that came to my mind. That's a good one.
Very happy.
Just to keep that good vibe going, right?
Absolutely.
What are you doing for fun? What's your fun day of recreation look like? You get an off day, you're not having a present, you're having to be at Long Rock, having a good time. What are you going to do for your fun time?
I am a beach person.
Nice.
So if I had a day of fun and I, or a lake, water, I mean, we live in Texas, right? So we've got the Gulf. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And it can be, not the greatest body of water at times, but it can also be beautiful. It's totally fine. But you could also fly me to a remote island somewhere, and that would be amazing too. Turquoise waters.
No,
I'd be fine with that. You don't have that in
the... for them, but we can try maybe to get a sponsor of some kind and see if we can.
We're always looking for sponsors.
Always looking for sponsors. Did y'all hear that? Sponsors? Anybody?
Well, because, and then now we'll get to twist your arm. We're like, hey, like, we need you to talk to some of the money folk for us because...
We need the funds because we want to go to the remote island.
Yeah,
Jordan and Will have we have a pretty extensive wish list. We like, right? We like to live the high life.
Yeah,
we'll keep the remote island at the top.
Okay.
So great answers. Last thing, we always want to leave our guests with the last word, words of advice, words of wisdom for our listeners, based off what we've talked about
today. All right, words of wisdom for the listeners. Keep your head up, push through. When times are rough, know that you're going to get through it. You're going to learn a lesson. You're going to move on. And look around you at the people who are by you, because there's a whole lot of people to support you. And they can help push you forward, pat your back, carry you on, lend a hand. And it really is all about those relationships, that support system. And trying to see the good that what we're doing matters. So really strive to kind of keep that going when times are hard. Keep making an impact, right? And that's what it's about. For yourself, for your community, for others. Just really do your best to make an impact.
Absolutely. Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good one. What we're looking for!
competition.